Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
I am so glad you're joining me on another episode of Stoma for Life. It truly means the world to me because every time you tune in, you're part of this mission with me, raising awareness about bowel cancer and sharing what life is really like living with a stoma. Bowel cancer is something that far too many people are facing. In the UK alone, it's well over 44,000 people that are diagnosed every year. That's roughly 120 people every single day. If I think of my airline days, that's a plane full of people, an Airbus 319 full of people that are diagnosed every single day. That's a huge number. And it's not just something that affects older people. The age of a diagnosis is getting younger. Worldwide, nearly 1 in 10 new cases of colorectal cancer are now people under the age of 50. In England alone, more than 2,500 in their 20s, 30s and 40s are diagnosed each year. And often it's at a late stage because their symptoms have been misread or brushed aside because they're younger. And that late diagnosis costs time. And in some cases, it costs lives. I know because I was one of those people who had to fight to be heard. I had 2 FIT tests showing blood in my stool. 2. And yet I was sent home with a hemorrhoid prescription and told not to worry. I was in an age group where bowel cancer was possible. And even then I had to push, really push, to get a colonoscopy. And as I often say, the rest is history. And fortunately, I'm not. That phrase means a lot to me. It reminds me that I'm still here, but also that things could have been very different if I hadn't spoken up for myself. And that's why I'm sitting here today with a microphone in front of you, talking to you, because I want more people to recognize the signs, to take them serious, and to feel confident enough to advocate for themselves when something doesn't feel right. That moment in my life was a turning point. There's a saying, there are 2 important days in your life, the day you are born and the day you find out why. I'm not quite sure who said it. I think it was Mark Twain, but I know it's true. Purpose is not fixed. It changes as life changes. And after a cancer diagnosis, your perspective changes with it. What mattered before might not matter as much now. And things you never thought you'd do, like me talking openly about living with a stoma, suddenly become the most important work you've ever done. That's why I share not just my story, but the stories of others who have had to fight to be heard. And today I have somebody very special joining me. Helinka Carr is a bowel cancer survivor and the founder of Unspoken Rosebud, a brand born from her own deeply personal journey. She's had to advocate for herself to get the care that she needed. And like me, that journey led her to a new purpose. Living with an ileostomy after her own battle with bowel cancer, she realized how few lingerie options there were for women like her. Lingerie that was beautiful, comfortable, and made to work with a stoma. So she set out to change that. Unspoken Rosebud is not just about lingerie, it's about confidence, it's about breaking down stigma, it's about saying that having a stoma doesn't take away your right to feel attractive, feminine and strong. Her pieces are made from silk, lace and breathable cotton jersey in gorgeous colours, all designed to work with an ostomy pouch without losing elegance or comfort. Beyond the garments, she also offers one-to-one coaching, group sessions, and courses to help people build a life they love with a stoma. Now, her story, like mine, is proof that you can rebuild, you can adapt, and you can find joy, even after everything changes. So, after the commercial break, Helinka will join me and share her story. So don't go away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. My guest today is somebody whose story I think will resonate with so many of you. She's faced bowel cancer head on, navigates life with an ileostomy, and turned her experience into something truly empowering. Helenka Carr is the founder of Unspoken Rosebud, a brand that's as much about confidence and identity as it is about beautiful lingerie designed for women living with a stoma. Through her designs, her coaching and advocacy, she challenges stigmas and reminds all of us that femininity, strength and self-worth don't disappear after surgery. In fact, it can grow even stronger. Helenka, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show today.
It's an absolute pleasure and what a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Ah, that's so kind of you. Now, I want to take the listeners back to before your diagnosis. What did health and confidence mean to you, and how has that definition changed in time?
I thought I was really quite a healthy person. I'm not saying I went to the gym or anything like that, but I was active. I had grandsons, still got them, obviously. I had an allotment and I worked full time, had a house. So I just, you just did and did. But there were days when I was tired for no reason, but I just thought it was down to I was just doing a lot. But like I say, I worked full time, loved my job, loved the people that I worked with, but it was just occasional pain. That was all it really was. The odd bit of bleeding from the rectum. But other than that, everything was great. I was happy, I was confident, I was able to go out and do what I wanted to do. There was no interruption to the bowel playing silly buggers or anything like this. There was no indication at all that that's what was harbouring inside. So that was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they do call it the silent killer for exactly that reason, because sometimes you don't even know what's happening inside. But you obviously had some symptoms. And when was the actual time where you decided, okay, maybe I should have this checked out or go to the GP and have it looked at?
My daughter nagging me because she noticed that I used to clutch my side. And it would only occasionally, it would just got quite painful, like stabbing pains and such. And she just said to me, can you just go get it checked out? And after a bit of nagging, I went, yeah, fine. Made the phone call, had the phone call consultation, round of blood tests, back in to see the GP the following day.
Okay. So, but actually, well done on your daughter, because this is also an important lesson for those people listening who might have family members that have gone through this, how important it is for you to actually be very conscious and aware of habits. Obviously, this was not a common habit to say, oh, I've got pain on my side. It's your body telling you there is something wrong with you. And I know a lot of men tend to take even much longer to go and see a GP, because they think, oh, well, can't be anything. What can that be? Well done on, first of all, your daughter and of you listening to her and going to have it checked out.
Well, see, within the family, there's diverticulitis. So I looked up what diverticulitis actually was, the symptoms and such ever else. And they are so similar to bowel cancer. Just thought, well, it's diverticulitis. I'm not going to take antibiotics because I don't take them. So there's no point me bothering the GP. It's only because of a persistent nagging. I actually did go. And then I just said, that's diverticulitis. You're going to give me antibiotics. I'm not going to take them. What else can I do? And no, it weren't. It was something totally different.
So when you first heard your diagnosis, was an ileostomy ever on the cards, or how was that experience, first of all?
Well, I obviously went to go see the GP after the blood test, and she must have done the sneaky cancer test in there because that's when the word was first mentioned. And I went, "Don't be daft, it's diverticulitis." You know what I mean? That's all it is. Toddled me off for the endoscopy, no colonoscopy, isn't it? Sorry. And I had a guy, a nurse, he was brilliant. We had such great banter. He was a couple of years younger than me, and he went, "Oh, you're of the age where they're going to shove any probe in any orifice you've got. Welcome to the world." And I went, "All right, fine, thanks." And he explained he was going to take 3 to 6 samples if they found anything of the bowel and all that kind of thing. And I went, yeah, no worries." And I said, "I want to see what you're doing." So I actually watched it on the screen, which was really interesting. And unfortunately, as soon as I got in, the atmosphere in the room changed. But all I saw was this soft, creamy cauliflower kind of thing, and I thought nothing of it. You know what I mean? I just thought, oh, okay, then that's something different. And then they did all the rest of the bowel and such of it else. And then he said, "Well, I'm gonna have to take some samples." I said, "Oh yeah, 3 to 6, that's what you said." He says, "No, I'm gonna take 12." So here I am with this probe, very delicately placed, and I'm going, "No, you said 3 to 6, you're not taking any more." And he's going, "No, you don't realize how serious this is. I am taking 12." And I thought, oh, okay then. And then when I came out, he said, "Well, I'm really sorry to say you've got, stage 3 bowel cancer."
Wow, he said it right there and then.
Said it right there and then, and he was stunned. He just said, "You're 2 years older than me. I can't believe this. You're 2 years older than me. This doesn't make any sense." And I'd gone on my own. That was the worst bit. So if anybody is going for a colonoscopy, take somebody with you. I don't care whether it's a false, it's just that your bowel's inflamed or such, which is still painful and still troublesome. Take somebody with you, because then I had to go home. Well, no, my husband came and picked me up, and the nurse said, "Bring your husband in, I will explain everything to him." And he just said, "I don't want to know. Wait till we see the doctor." And this nurse just kept saying, "I can't believe this. You're only 2 years older than me. It shouldn't be happening." So he was, yeah, it was. I still find it a funny experience, even though that's the diagnosis I was given, because it was like, well, it's cancer, we'll get rid of it.
So you were very, how could I put it, matter of fact, kept your cool.
Well, I had to, because I had to go home and tell my husband while he was in the car. Then I had to go back and tell my family. So I had to keep my cool, because there's no point. I'm the one that's the rock. So you can't be a gibbering wreck. When you say to them, "Well, I'm really sorry, but it's this." Unfortunately, my son works locally, so I just phoned him up, said, "Oh, where are you, love?" And he just went, "I'm coming home." And he just came immediately home. But telling them was a nightmare. But take somebody with you.
Exactly. And isn't it strange that immediately we think of everybody else except ourselves? You thought of your family, how are you going to convey this to your family? You are the rock, but sometimes the rock also gets onto rocky terrain and has to be looked after. So.
And then, like you say, for that, I then went round and spoke to people and said, I need you to support these because I haven't got the time. I won't have the energy because obviously we're not 100% sure, are we, what we're going to actually be going through. We don't know how we're going to respond to the treatments. We don't know anything. So I looked, made sure other people looked after them mm-hmm. so that I then could look after myself.
Yeah, because then you had peace of mind. They were looked after and now you can take time for yourself, which you absolutely had to do. Now, just talk us through what was actually discussed. I mean, what treatment did you have? Did you have any before surgery or only after surgery? What did it look like?
Right, well, when I went to go see my specialist, and bless him, he's from Switzerland, so meeting a Yorkshire lass, didn't have to confuse him. It was brilliant. And he sort of said, he was going through his spiel of, right, you've got this cancer and this is where it is. And he was going through his spiel. I says, look, this is not what my husband needs to hear. He needs to hear this is curable. And he says, no, I've got to say this. I said, no. As soon as you tell him it's curable, even at this stage, I didn't know what stage it actually was. I said, he will listen. I said, at the moment, he's in denial and I need you to tell him what it is and that it's curable. So he told him that, you know, it's stage three. It's, you know, it's moving around a bit, but it's curable. But the, like you said, the ileostomy was not mentioned at the time. It was at the very beginning. It was, you know, you're on the treadmill of CCT scans and MRI scans and blood tests and everything else before. But I refused chemotherapy. Totally said, you're not putting that inside me.
Yeah.
But then agreed to the radiotherapy, which, in hindsight, for me, wasn't the better thing. Mm-hmm. But I did it for the family. You know, you know, at some point, you know what I mean? You put them first mm-hmm. because it's their peace of mind that works. They trust the medical system. See, I'm a Reiki and a crystal healer as well. I used all of that myself, which yeah. by the time I did had the surgery, I'd shrunk it by 45%.
Wow.
And the surgeon just says, I don't know what on earth you've done, but just keep doing it.
Wow.
He said, he got in there today, expected to take this big, massive mass out, he said, and it just wasn't there. So, yeah, it was because I knew I could heal myself, but I had to be conventional for the family.
Mm-hmm. So you basically did a integrative approach, if I could call it that?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, which I find, to me, it also is the approach that makes most sense, because why only use one tool available? There are so many options out there, and you've clearly shown already, you've proven to yourself that it had worked. So, yes, I can only agree with you. An integrative approach is something that should be on the cards for everyone, just to see the different options that you have, because there is not just one option. There are loads out there.
They are. And I think once I started the radiotherapy treatment, one of the nurses found out that I was a Reiki person. And she said, you could have asked for a delay. I says, what do you mean I could have asked for a delay? She says, we could have delayed it for you for another 6 weeks and let you heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was knacked about that. But I just thought, well, it's too late now. I'm in the program of it. Let's just get it done.
Yeah. But from when you had the diagnosis to when you had surgery, you said it shrunk by what, 45%?
Yes.
What was the time span?
6 weeks.
Wow. Incredible. 6 weeks.
So I was diagnosed in June. I didn't do the radiotherapy till the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
And then the surgery was October.
Okay.
But I'd started healing. Well, it would have been longer than 6 weeks, wouldn't it? It would have been soon as they told me, I just went, right, fine. Yeah. So it would have been back end of June till beginning of October is when I started healing myself.
Now, when you had surgery, did they say anything about the ileostomy, or did you wake up out of surgery surprised by it?
No, they did say I would have one. I fought tooth and nail and said, I don't want one. Not interested in it. And the reason being, it's not, my auntie had one and all she had was problems with hers.
Yeah.
But she was somebody who liked attention and liked people to look after her. So that really put me off. So the surgeon just frog marched me down to the stoma nurses and said, talk sense into her. So I said, right, okay, then I'll have it. But it's only a temporary one and it's going to be very short term. It wasn't as short term as what he said, but, you know, that he happily said, I needed to get you on that table. So I lied through my teeth to get you there, yeah. Because that's the gold standard, is to cut it, remove it.
So you said it was a temporary ileostomy.
Yes,
is that is that so? When did you have a reversal, or is that still on the cards?
No. I had the reversal in December the same year. Mm-hmm. So I had it for just over 11 weeks.
Okay.
He promised me 6 weeks, but I got it for 11 weeks, which compared to a lot of other people, that's still a really short amount of time. But unfortunately, because of the radiotherapy, now they've blasted me. It's damaged the bowel beyond where it won't work. So I had 3 years of pure hell. So I just said, right, just put the damn thing back on. Just give me life back. Because mm-hmm. I could leave the house, but it was for short spurts and the unpredictability of, am I going to lose control?
Yes. So you had the reversal and that was for 3 years. And then yes. You had, okay. So you've seen both sides of ostomy life, like the good and the bad.
And the ugly, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, okay, then you decided, okay, I'm going to ask for the reversal to be reversed again, to have my ileostomy put back in. And what did the doctor say to that? I mean,
I think after 3 years, he realised that, and he diagnosed that I had pelvic radiation disease. Mm-hmm. I actually feel that part of my body.
Wow.
So I have no, I can touch it, but I know I'm touching it, but I can't feel I'm touching it. Mm-hmm. So he said, no, we've damaged that. So he just recognised that ileostomy is the way forward.
Wow.
To give me quality of life.
Yeah. My goodness, that's a lot for me to take in. And I'm sure it was... I mean, it's been quite a journey. And if I see you now sitting opposite me, you're such a force to be reckoned with. You're such a powerhouse. And I know through all of this, you've created Unspoken Rosebud, which was born from this personal experience. Now, I'm just going to fast forward a little bit. What actually got you to take that step, to actually like have an idea, sketch it out and make it to what it is now?
Well, I'm a lady who likes matching bra and knickers. I know there's only 47% of us that like it, but I'm one of them, and I was adamant that yes, I have to have this bag, but it wasn't going to be ugly. So this is when I started looking for pretty, sexy, you know, feminine lingerie that would cover our wraps, you know, our bag covers. And all I found then was the medical stuff, which I appreciate, it is needed. There are times when I'll have to wear the medical stuff, and that's because my stomach's really sore and I know it'll hold it and settle it back down. But I thought, I'm damned if I'm going to wear them all the time. I want something that I will feel, you know, confident in. And, you know, I'm not necessarily saying proud of the stoma, but I will be, you know, I am where I'm comfortable. And if my stomach gets exposed, which it can do with, you know, moving about and lifting and stretching and whatever, I know it's safe because nobody can see it. All I'll see is this beautiful piece of lingerie or wrap on me. I'm just thinking, oh, that's pretty, and not see the ugly bag. So it was just, I was refusing to not be pretty.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, I actually, what did you say? 45% only wear matching undergarments? I mean, nice underwear is also for myself. Like you said, it makes you feel pretty and nice, and it gives you this confident boost as well. And I am sure I've looked at your website, which we'll get to in a moment. I've looked at the website and those are just absolutely beautiful. And I can just imagine if you see a little bit of lace sticking out there, it's more conversation starter, you know, and it's something to be proud of.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this afternoon I'm making a bridal one. So how beautiful is it for a bride to have an accessory for her bag? And to, you know, have that. I mean, that was really funny. I did, and I'm going off topic. There was a lady who ordered a, a bridal one. And it must be quite competitive because she was American and it was quite competitive. And she says, I can go back there proudly and say, I've accessorized my stoma bag, or ostomy bag, she called it. And she's a new lot can't. And she said, it felt so pretty and so elevated today.
Brilliant. Oh, I absolutely love that. And yes, you know, it can be for all sorts of occasions. And I mean, if not a wedding, then when, you know, this is like the perfect time, but also for everyday use, because let's face it. I mean, we do change our bags some on a daily basis. And what nicer way is to do it if you are also covered up nicely?
I mean, I met a lady. She sent me a message through. She's saying, right, I'm a widower. She was in her 70s, bless her consort. She says, I need your stoma wrap within so many days. And I said, right, where do you live? She says, UK. Sorted, I can do that. Because I'm UK-based, so obviously I can get stuff done quite quickly. She says, no, I'm going out. My husband's recently passed. She says, and I'm going out on a new relationship. I want it covered. And I just thought, you go, girl. You go.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. 10 out of 10 for her. My goodness. That's
absolutely. And
we can take so much out of that because obviously surgery, you know, I mean, obviously a lot has happened with our body, but at the end of the day, we still have the same needs. We are actually still, we still want to feel vulnerable, but we are vulnerable, but we still want to feel loved and sexy and feminine. And, why, you know, this is a brilliant way to actually enhance all of that and put that all in one, well, one package.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And like I say, that encourages me on more and more to, you know, provide that side of the business as well.
Now, your designs are, they are unique, they are yours. This is all bespoke as far as I could gather. I mean, if people phone you and say, listen, I want something for my wedding dress, you know, could they actually also come and say, listen, this is the material I would like you to use? I'm just thinking.
No. I have had that. And they've sent it across and I have made for them. I have done, you know, more bespoke. And then it's been total and absolute one-offs. Yeah. And I'll often get people saying, right, there was one guy and he called his stoma Homer. So he wanted a wrap that was of Homer Simpson.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I did the research, found the material. I think I gave him 3 or 4 choices and he chose which one he wanted. I ordered it, made it, he bought it. So yeah, I do try to make it as personal as possible because it's a personal issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for all our listeners listening now, where can they actually get hold of your products?
Like you say, I've got my website, unspokenrosebud.com, but I'm also on Etsy as Unspoken Rosebud as well. And that's, you know, a good, reliable service as well. So they're the two main parts I have. People like contact me directly and they'll ask, right, I'm looking for X, Y, and Z. And then I will find what I've got in stock, not in stock, but on my range, and then give them direct links to it and say, is this what you're looking for? Because I make to order so that then there's no wasted garments just sat there languishing and not getting made or, you know, sold. So I try my best that way.
And you also ship worldwide, I suppose, because you said a woman from the US contacted you.
Yeah, I ship worldwide. Yeah, I do.
Excellent. And I absolutely love the name, Unspoken Rosebud. Well, how did you come up with that name?
Right then. So Rosebud in the stoma medical world is what they used to call a stoma because it looks like a rosebud. So that's, somebody just mentioned it in passing. And Unspoken is because it's something we don't talk about, isn't it, really? So it just married together. Originally, we was going to call it Fuchsia Rosebud, but I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't spell it for tougher. Couldn't spell it for love and money. And there's two ways to spell it, and it was just like, oh, forget this. And then we sat down and thought about it, and Unspoken came out, like, because we don't discuss it, we don't talk about it. So, yeah, that's the origin.
Beautiful.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Let's just go back to, you know, many people listening, they might be at the very start of their surgery and their stoma journey. Now, what's the one thing you wish that somebody had told you in those first few weeks?
It is part of you, but it isn't all of you. It's a small part of what you're and don't make it the be all and end all of life, because it isn't. All right, I appreciate my first one was temporary and I absolutely totally hated it. I will hand on heart say that. So I've gone from the hate relationship to the respect and love the relationship of having the stoma. But it does not define you. It's just, whether it's temporary, whether it's permanent, it's just part of you. And don't make your life revolve totally and absolutely around it. Yes, there's a lot of adjusting to do, but you can soon adjust and just make it an everyday life part of life, like getting changed and wash out in the morning. It's the same. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
You just got a little added.
Yeah. You know, when I was in hospital, I had four other ladies in the ward and we'd all received our stomas during that time. And obviously everybody took to a different degree of acceptance and I said to them, you know what this is like? Because that's what it felt like to me. It's like, you know, when you have when you're a first time mom, you've got to change your child's diapers, the nappies. Oh, it's such a big issue. You know, it's like you want to do everything correctly and it takes forever. Mm. And I said, you know, later on my children, I could change their diapers. I think while they were walking, I could do it, you know, because it becomes so easy and second nature and it's just, you know, something that gets done quickly. And that's how I said to them, that's how I'm going to see this, because I'm going to become a master at being able to change this like quickly and effectively. And yeah. I mean, we all know what situations we can get into where we might have to do exactly that, because there might not be a hook, there might not be an adequate supply station or what table or whatever. I mean, I've really done it like that as well, having all my supplies under my arm and changing my bag, but it worked.
And almost like you, sorry for interrupting, but like you, I found myself in strange places. The most strangest is in a lay-by in Wales. We tried to get to toilets, but we couldn't get in the car parks. They were full. So I just said to me, I were driving, so it wasn't a problem. I just found a lay-by, pulled over, opened the boot and changed. Because it had to get changed, it had bust. So
yeah.
We're just like, okay, then let's just do it. And my husband just went, just don't know how you do it. I said, well, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to let it ruin our day out or our time away.
Yeah. But I liked what you said in the beginning also. You are not focusing, you're not making it the absolute focal point. Yes, it is necessary, it is important, and we need it. But life doesn't have to revolve around it 24/7. It's for that short period of time. And then, you know, you get on with the rest yeah. of your life.
It is, and like you're saying, it is remembering. It's, I know it's quite hard to get your head around that here we are of the age that we are, and we've not got the control of as bowel as what we did have, or we have had as bowel removed. But it doesn't make us babies. It just makes us where we've to adapt to, okay, this, you know, this is here, but it's here for a good reason. And this is where the anxiety and the PTSD and the grief, it's amazing how many people grieve for their old life without the bag, rather than looking at, okay, I have this, and let's move forward, and let's, you know, look at what we can do better rather than what we can't do.
Exactly. I often say, just choose a different wording. Say, what now? What can I do now to improve and to live the best life? Like you said, don't grieve your old life, because, you know, there are things that are, you know, there are things that have ceased to exist. There are no more, and you cannot, what do they usually say? Don't cry over spilled milk.
Yeah, but then you can look at it another way. You can grieve over your life as a teenager or somebody in the 20s with all the energy and all the enthusiasm and all the brilliant, bright ideas. And here we are a lot later on in life going, well, that didn't bloody well work out. And grieve over what, how you were then to how you are now. So that's how I make the anomaly, because at the end of the comparison, because at the end of the day, we could all grieve over different parts of his younger life rather than looking at where we are now. And yeah, I appreciate there are times when I get anxious about maybe going somewhere different and I don't know where toilets are or whatever, but I have changed my bag in the most strangest of places, and I just think it has to be done. It has to be done. It's not the be all and end all. I'm not sat squatting in the middle of a field because I need to go to the loo.
No. And for the rest of it, I mean, you said your life is, you've gotten your quality of life back ever since you've had it reversed, if I could call it that. So like you said, you've seen the good, the bad and the ugly, and you appreciate it for what it is now. But it's, you know, for the rest, you've got a brilliant life to lead, and you've created something so needed by the ostomy community. Now, we've already had the conversation around lingerie and stomas. So what is next for Unspoken Rosebud in terms of breaking barriers, perhaps?
No, absolutely. That is my business thing, is breaking down the stigma and the feelings of living with a stoma and ostomy. I have a webinar on the 27th of August, and that's at 7 p.m. and that's British summer time. Sorry, can't do it any other time. That's the only time I've got. And that's where you'll come in, you'll get to meet me, and we'll talk about, because this month is Happy Happens Month. Didn't realise. So I'm obviously doing a lot around that happiness. And the happiness is about living with this bag stuck to his tummy. It's not elegant. People can make it elegant, but it's your feelings around it. And this is where you come in to meet me. I'll talk about what I've learned and what I've experienced. But it's also about giving you guided meditation. And I'm also having a question and answer session at the end. So if you've got questions that you'd like to ask, you can just go, okay, then I'd like to, you know, what are your thoughts on this? I am not anyways for the medical model. Clinical hypnotherapist and a therapist, yes, that I can cover quite easily, but I'm not going to give you medical advice. I may suggest you might need to ask these questions rather than more open and more probing questions rather than this is what I want questions.
Brilliant. So just repeat those days or the day and the time for us.
It's the 27th of August, 7 p.m. British summer time. If you drop onto my socials, you will find the links, and I'm starting to put a lot of the stories out and the posts out about it. Or just drop me a DM and I'll send you the link.
Excellent. No, that really sounds like something to look forward to. And I think it's so important. You know, when I started this radio show and podcast, you know, I thought I had already healed from what I'd been going through, but me going into conversation with somebody like yourself or with all my other previous guests has helped me on my journey and on my path. It's just so important. And a webinar like that will be so effective to you out there listening now. So I can only invite you to listen to Helinka and to join her webinar on the 27th.
Brilliant, thank you.
Yes. So now let's just talk about if there's one thing I could change how society views people living with a stoma, what would what would you say to them? What would that be, and why?
What would I change? To be honest, well, it's a dirty topic at the end of the day. Who talks about bowel movements? Who talks about poo? We don't talk about. The only poo we talk about is what our dog's dropped and we've got having to go clean it up. That's the only poo we sort of thing. But I make light of that now, though, because I'll say, oh, I carry poo bags with me. Because if I'm on a long walk, as you know, the more you walk, the more your bowel works and such of an else. And I will pretend, because I can borrow a dog, that when I don't tip my bag on whichever else, it's a poo bag and they think it's his. So I can get away with that. But if people ask me, I'll happily say, I had cancer. I didn't have a choice. And they'll just back off straight away and they'll just ask nice questions then. They don't go in the defensive and they don't go into the attack kind of mode. Because like you're saying, maybe, like I say, if it's the other bowel issues that people have, maybe they might need to explain them a little bit more, but it's being comfortable to explain what you want to explain, not what they want. Then, you know, if they keep probing and probing, just say, hang on, I've said what I need to say. Yeah. Is there something you've not understood? I think it's more about being honest with yourself rather than being honest with other people, yeah. Because it's, yeah. If you're not happy and honest, then that's going to just radiate out all the time. And then people are going to go, and it's not a woe is me kind of thing. It's part of you. It's not all of you.
Yeah. I like what you said about being honest to yourself, because I think that is the most important thing. And yes, if those people don't get it, okay. I mean, that's actually not any of your issue. You know, that's got nothing to do with you anymore, because then they might just have an issue with that. But I find I want to be asked. It's better to be asked than any misconceptions or any stories being fabricated in their head, so I can clear up those misconceptions. I think that I like to talk about it as well. I like being asked about it. And I find that is such an important step where we actually advocate for the rest of the ostomy community.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying you should be loud and proud, but just comfortable and confident with it. I mean, not everybody's up for, you know, showing the bag off and such ever else. Yeah. I tell you what's quite funny, though, I don't know if you've noticed it yourself, is when you're out and about with dogs, how they automatically now go for your tummy. Yeah. They don't go for your bum anymore. They go straight for your tummy. And then that's when I'll say to people, oh, they found my bag. You know what I mean? And it sort of, that brings up the conversation and such. And then that and then people just laugh at that and go, oh, okay,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
So I find that's a good icebreaker.
Then one of the best compliments I got, this was recently, actually, it was from my youngest son. He said to me the other day, because we were heading outside and I said, oh, I've just got to get all my supplies, you know, because I've got these special bags that I put inside a bag. You know what I mean? You know, you don't go outside with any of your supplies not being there.
I do.
Well, I always have to have them with me. You know, yeah. We were going on a longer trip. I had to have them with me. And he says to me, Mommy, you know, sometimes I forget you've got a bag.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a compliment, because I don't want it to become a big family issue. You know, it's my personal life. Well, that's how I'm living life now. But I don't want it to inflict or restrict my family in any way.
Oh, absolutely. And like you're saying, the only thing that'll I'm one of the naughty ones. I don't take any products out with me. I take poo bags and tissues.
Okay.
And that's all I take out. And some people find that really, really frightening, and that's okay. But like you're saying, it's that my family don't, the only reason my family will think about food is because I'm gluten intolerant. Mm-hmm. And they think that's why I developed the cancer further on down the line. But other than, you know, that it doesn't involve the bag, it's the gluten part that they're more concerned about. So they don't even think about it. They just go, okay, we're going to go do X, Y, and Z. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, go on then. You know, and like my son, I remember one time we was at a holiday park and I hadn't had the ileostomy that long, the second one anyway. And he says to me, can you go swimming? I went, of course I bloody well can. And he went, oh, okay then. And that was it. We've never talked about it since.
Yeah.
He just sees that I can do whatever and anything I want.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped and it hasn't defined me.
Wow. Very powerful words, Linka. Very powerful. Now, we're almost at the end of the show. Now, looking ahead, When you imagine your life and work, say 5 years from now, what do you hope you'll be able to say you've achieved for yourself and for the community you serve?
Well, for the community, it's more about giving them the tools and the ability to talk about it, or for them to actually deal with it. Let's start with them dealing with it and being more confident and finding the underlying, because more often than not, it's not the bag that's the issue. It can be the diagnosis. It can be the shock of, hell, this is what I've got to deal with, or I've looked after everybody else and I've forgotten to look after myself. And then it's taking that time to look after yourself for a bit and then get yourself back on a bit more of a happy balance with yourself. It's just giving people choices. I think that's so important for them, because more often than not, yeah, I had the choice to have the second one. On one level I did, and on another level I didn't. But giving people some choices back, you choose how you feel about this bag. You choose how you want to represent living with the bag. And I want to give people the confidence to make well-informed choices. And obviously, look brilliant in my lingerie, just to go, yeah, okay, I've got this, but I've got this wonderful piece. You lot not. Yeah. You haven't got it. And I feel so happy. So, yeah, it's that. The more people that hear about us and the more people that learn about what we do and get the right support for them, the happier and better life they're all going to have. And that, to me, we get one crack at life.
Yeah,
let's leave it to the best we can.
Absolutely. And, you know, this message isn't just out there for ostomates. It's actually for everybody, because let's face it, happiness is an inside job.
Yes, very much so. It is.
Helenka, it's a pleasure to have had you on the show. Your story is a reminder that strength takes so many forms. Sometimes it's pushing through treatment. Sometimes it's creating something beautiful out of pain, like Unspoken Rosebud. And sometimes it's simply choosing to be visible when it might be easier to hide. Thank you so much.
No, you're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
If today's conversation made you think differently about life with a stoma, or about how we can all take more or take a break and talk about bowel cancer, then we've actually done our job. So thank you for listening, and bye for now.